Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Today, we want to talk about the wilderness, the jungle, and how we often find ourselves in a jungle. We often find ourselves in a sort of spiritual limbo, spiritual wilderness, right? But I want to call today's topic, the wilderness is not your home. This is obviously taken from the experience of the Israelites whenever they left Egypt and they then went into the wilderness and were supposed to be guided by God to enter into the promised land. Mm. The wilderness ended up being quite a long journey for the Israelites. That, of course, was not God's will. But whenever we end up in a place for long enough, we forget that there's more than it. Mm. You know, when you think of David and his journey to the throne, at a point, he was actually king of Judah, right? And king of Judah sounds really nice. You're king of a tribe, but that's a lot. But to think that God had so much more for him, and I know that a lot of people, when they would speak of David and a wilderness, it would probably be more the cave, you know, when the Lord was like, get out of the cave. You're not supposed to be running from Saul forever. You actually have to be free now. But that was more of a negative thing. He was hiding out because of fear. And it's easy to understand that God doesn't want you to live in a spirit of fear forever. The season is over, come out. But what about if you're in a comfortable wilderness? The wilderness ain't always bad. King of Judah is not bad, but God has in store for you King of Israel, right? Sure. You're not just going to stay in that tiny little tribe. Yeah. God wants to bring you up to a place that is higher. God wants to take you to more. And sometimes we are fighting for the little when God has so much more to give us. It feels like, oh no, just getting to the palace is enough. You know, just this promotion is enough. And we begin to stay stagnant in a place where God is like, no, no, no. You were only here to learn something so that you could take it for the next level. You're not actually here to chill here. You're not actually here to stay here. So today we really want to emphasize on the fact that God wants to take you higher. The word of the Lord says he takes us from one place of glory to another. We live in a world that tells you, oh, you've plateaued. You've reached where you're supposed to go. You stop right there. That's not true in the kingdom of God. Whenever we look at scripture, these people are doing exploits for God until they're 130 years old. There's never an expiry date for where God wants to take you if you will allow him.
I'm going to take this to Moses. Okay. Because that's someone who died in the wilderness.
Oh, Lord.
That's someone who died in the wilderness. And there are things we see about Moses that should concern us, you know. After Moses had that encounter with God and he started glowing, there was literally a glow on his face. One of the things the scripture says is he covered his face, not so that the people, that glow, you know, affects the people, no, so that they don't see that the glow is fading.
Oh.
You understand? Like that anointing, that encounter was slowly fading. Moses should have, really said, look, let me go have another one and recharge this glory that's upon me, you know, so the people really see. But he was dealing with the rebellious people, you know, a lot was happening. And, you know, he had that veil just to hide because, you know, they were rebellious already. And I'm sure he was thinking, whew, if they see that it's fading, there might be even worse to deal with. Let me just hide it. So they know there's glory on me, but they don't see that it's fading.
Yeah.
Sometimes in your wilderness, when you are comfortable, you try to keep the old encounters fresh, you know, and hide the fact that they are fading. Hide the fact that you've not heard from God in a long time. You know, you're walking in the glory of old. And we need a fresh encounter. You need to come back to God for a brand new mission. You need to stretch your faith a little bit further. Why? Because that is how we grow. You don't want to die in the wilderness. You don't want to be testifying about what God did in 2020 even.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020.
3 years ago.
It's long enough. Mm-hmm. You know, some of you are sitting there and you're thinking, well, I thought old is 1990. No. 3 years ago is old. Why? Because his grace are new every day. Mm-hmm. There's abundance every day. Mm-hmm. His mercy is new every morning. Mm-hmm. So you should be taking and eating something that's new. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God stops moving because the last thing he told you to do, you've not yet honored. You've not yet walked in obedience. Mm-hmm. Some of you, he told you to sow. Mm-hmm. You've not yet sowed. Some of you, he told you to sit down. You're still trying to work.
Yeah.
Some of you, he told you to work. You're still sitting down. Because you're looking at what other people are doing.
Yeah.
And we have to be very, very careful.
Mm.
Because these are the things that keep you in the desert. You know, the children of Israel, they saw miracles, man.
Mm-hmm.
Those boys and girls. So a lot of miracles. Things that some of us to date, we're like, what? The water turned red. Like, what? Locusts just showed up, ate everything. There was darkness. Scripture says darkness so thick
You
couldn't see your hand. In one side where the Egyptians were, but where they were, there was nothing. I mean, think about that. They literally put blood on a door, just blood from a sheep. And the spirit of death came through. And they saw, they woke up the next day and people were dying. But guess what? That was still not enough for them to get through the desert. So it's dangerous. Some of us think, man, God just needs to do one more thing. I need more miracles. If only I experience the touch of God. You are lying. You are lying to yourself. According to Scripture, Hebrews, and it's repeated over and over and over and over. In Hebrews 3, it's there. In Hebrews 4, 5, 6, it keeps on saying, today, if you hear my word, do not harden your hearts. There's a hardening of the heart. Mm. Then he speaks again of unbelief. Unbelief. Mm. A lot of us, the struggle is unbelief.
Mm.
It's not that God, if I ask you today, have you not seen miracles?
Mm.
Has God not come through for you in ways that you never thought he would?
Mm.
You'll tell me, yes, no, God came through for me. You have testimonies and all of that. But when the next thing shows up, you're afraid, you back up, and that evil heart of unbelief is working in you. That only you can fix.
When you say you saw God coming through, right? I want to link that to the old word and the old wine and why that old word and old wine can be such a problem, right? So I want to read, because we're speaking about the wilderness,
yes.
We're going to read in Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to start in verse 15, because he's speaking about miracles of old. But look how miracles of old can actually keep you in a place of stagnation. The Lord says in verse 15, He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness. Sometimes you're actually in a dreadful season.
Yes.
And in a dreadful season, God has to do dreadful things to get you to get through. But that doesn't mean that that dreadful season is the rest of your life and that you will always toil to get something to come through, right? Then it says, That thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions, he brought you water out of a rock. So sometimes you're surrounded by venomous scorpions and snakes, and that is your season. And he is bringing you water out of a very hard rock, right? And you start getting comfortable. Oh, this is my life. I will always be surrounded by venomous snakes and scorpions. Because what's confusing, I believe, is that within that dry and thirsty land, God is still coming through for you. So we begin to believe that because God is coming through, it is his will. Mm-mm. It's not the same. Verse 16, He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. There are certain provisions in season that's a humbling and a testing.
Come on.
You will not always be stuck there. You should not marry with that thing. You should not covenant with manna and now carry manna on your head forever. In fact, they weren't even supposed to keep that thing overnight. It was a form of provision during a season of testing.
Come on.
So when in the next season you're still speaking of manna, the Lord is like, you mean that thing that was meant to humble you? We've overcome that thing. Verse 17 says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hand have produced this wealth for me. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So the humility with the manna was to show the children of Israel that it is not by your own hand that you can produce wealth. There are certain seasons where you may have been tested, but it's because the Lord either wanted to grow something out of you or grow something into you. Now, when you marry with that wilderness season and you begin to believe and establish yourself in that season, it is hard to enter the promised land. And we actually see it happening. Because when there's scorpions and snakes in the wilderness and you're there for 40 years, when the land comes, how are you going to trust that there's no snakes and scorpions there? So what do? You send spies. So the wilderness can become a mindset where your mindset is so much in the previous season of lack, in the previous season of testing. We have to remember, scripture even says that it is God who brings peace and it is God who makes war. We sometimes like to think of God as just this God that wants to give us everything. But the truth is, sometimes there's a trying season, there's a pruning season, there's a fiery season where he appears as the fourth man in the fire because he wants to refine us for the call for which he has placed us in this life. And so previous seasons, we can feel failed by God, right? Why the Israelites felt failed by God, and we can see it in scripture where they say to Moses, at least in Egypt, we had food, like we knew what we were going to eat. At least in Egypt, we had water. We had a bed to sleep in, right? And you can begin to lament with God in your wilderness season as if that is his perfect will for your life. But life is a journey. And sometimes there's a manna season where that provision is for God to see the truth of your heart towards faith in him. Do you believe that in this dry season, and so many of us have just come from a dry season. The whole world locked down not so long ago. And it created so many droughts that are still reverberating right now. It is time to come out of that. Come out of that wilderness mindset to say that, yes, the world was locked down and it tried us and it tested us. And for however long this happened in your family, there was a manna in the form of canned food. I don't know. There was a manna in the form of charitable people bringing you, helping you. But I just want to declare by faith that that season is over. You are out of your wilderness. God is calling you to enter into the promised land. There is an inferiority complex that comes upon you in the wilderness that when God tells you, ascend the throne. It is time. It is the season. It is the year. It is the month in which I want to elevate you to more than just slaves. Listen, we have to understand about the Israelite. The Israelite condition is a heart condition. That was a physical manifestation of what we go through in our spirit. These people came from being slaves for 400 years. That is a mentality that goes into the DNA of every Israelite born in Egypt. That child is born with an inferiority complex, and then they escape and they're stuck in a place with dry, waterless snakes, scorpions, manna that they have to, you know, just accept because there was nothing else. These people were in such a downcast place that they asked for bondage. They said, bring us back to Egypt. Now that same God is like, these people with this lineage, I want you to enter a promised land of milk and honey. And that's why it was hard. Before we judge the Israelites, or even Moses really, we have to understand the mindset into which these people were born and how the wilderness, because of their own disobedience, cemented a very dangerous kind of mindset. And now they had trouble ascending to a place where God wanted them to be.
A lot of us have to ask ourselves very important questions. Are you going to press forward, or are you going to be like those who put their hands to the plow and look back? Because you can't do both. You can't be hot and cold, and then lukewarm just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't work. But don't allow your life to condition you to accept the things that have happened as normal. You know, there are things that had to happen that build character, you know, that prunes out the old things, that teaches us, look, we can have faith in the hardest of situations. Hardship builds us. Gold needs to be refined. But gold won't stay in the fire forever. Mm. Once it's refined, man, it's put on. Some of it is jewelry. Some of it goes and it's used at the Reserve Bank, you know, to power up the value of the currencies of that country. Gold does not stay in the fire forever. Yeah. So for you to be there just like, yo, I'm gold, I'm just going to stay in this fire. Mm. No, man, you have to push out. Mm. There's a place of God where there's abundance and provision. Mm. There's a place of God where there's a promised land. Mm. And he actually wants you to enter it. You know, he doesn't want you to be a spectator. He doesn't want you to be one of those who wait for the spies to come back with the news on the land and then your heart is disheartened. No, he wants you to be a Joshua that will decide, look, we are entering. Mm-hmm. I am going to enter. Mm-hmm. And not just those who gave up because the group, because there's always a group you started with, a group that didn't enter, a group that spoke in unbelief, a group that died in the desert. You need to be the Joshua and Caleb who come back and say, back in the day, that word was given. Mm-hmm. I am entering. I am fighting. You say there are giants there. I trust that God will give us the strength to kill the giants. Mm. I trust that God will give us the strength to overcome. Now, when we're using scripture and we're speaking that lingo, you understand it better. I want to make it real. Are you willing to go back to the places where you failed in before? Are you willing to do things where you've seen men and women of God fail? Mm. Are you willing to look like the false prophet? Are you willing to be looked at as, oh, the apostle of doom, just because you spoke what God had actually told you to speak? Are you willing to be misunderstood like you've been misunderstood before? Mm. Are you willing to speak when it's unpopular, even though you're speaking from a place of love? Mm. Are you willing to be misunderstood? Are you willing to be looked at as over-spiritual and earthly of no good? You know those lingos, the things that we frown upon today. Are you willing to be looked at as irresponsible? Yeah. Oh, this person taking on a commitment. Yeah, has God really said? Yeah. No, you're going to end up like this man and woman of God who also trusted God. And it didn't work out. Mm. Are you willing to take a risk and trust God? Mm. Those are the questions we're asking ourselves. And we're asking you today, will you step out of the boat and trust that, hey, you are going to walk on water?
You know, when you say step out of the boat, I actually was just looking at Noah. You know, the fact that the whole world has been drowned. Mm. I'm not coming out of that boat. That's it. Like me, I'm not coming out of that boat. That boat is where my children will have their children and grandkids, all of us will just live there. But there's a time when God says the storm is over. Mm. Get out of the boat. Mm. And he's telling you to step out by faith. Yes, you're not walking out into a land where there's buildings and there's a functioning economy. Yes, he's asking you to build that land. Yeah. He's asking you to cultivate that land. He's asking you to populate that land. But yeah. you're good for it because the wilderness, the boat, the storm, it raised you. And you are who you need to be to enter the place that God has called you into. Do not fear the stepping out of the boat. Because the same person that brought you into the wilderness, the same person that brought you into that boat, is the same person of Jesus Christ who will guide you in this new thing that he has called you into. It is normal to feel lost after the wilderness, because the wilderness is a place of transition. The wilderness is a place where seasons change. We're going from one season to another season, right? Yeah. So titles are changing. Conditions are changing. So you're used to a certain way of life for a very long period of time. And God comes and he switches it up completely. This is a time when you have to trust God to do that crazy thing that he told you to do. If you thought building the ark was crazy, get out now. And build where you are. You don't even know where you're getting out of. Noah could have been in a different country. It rained for a while, guys. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm coming out into the next city. I'm coming out into the unknown. Oof. I'm coming out into, I don't know, destruction. Because there were people that built all kinds of infrastructure. Those things were all ruined. And Noah had the weight of the world, literally, on his shoulders. You know, when we see these people get drunk and have these human moments, please, we have to understand that what they were called to was something completely different. They were the foundational fathers of the faith that we get to just carry in a much, sometimes it feels lighter, honestly, because if God told me to build a boat and then everybody died and said populate, I would just hide with the pigs in the sty of the boat and say, you know, just hold me, right? So do not be afraid. Be courageous. God is calling us into courage. May the Spirit of God that gives bravery inspire you to step out of your wilderness season. Step out of it mentally, because you can be in the palace with the mindset of a pauper, and that will change the palace experience. God wants you to experience this new thing that he has given you in abundance, in its fullness, in its completion. Do not allow the enemy to steal from you this season simply because you went through a pruning last season. Yes. Let me tell you something about grapevines that's been pruned. They produce more.
Come on.
If you've been pruned, you are ready to produce, more. A pruning is an enlarging of capacity. If you have lost people, if you have lost money, if you have lost businesses, if you have lost yourself in the pits of depression and self-doubt, it means that you are ready for the manifestation of that pruning. The pruning is not nice, but you have to understand that God has more in store for you after the pruning than even what he did before. Even what he did before. The days that are coming are better than the days that were, but are you willing to let go of the wilderness mindset so that you can enter into your milk and honey?
It's time to have faith. It's time to trust, you know. And I really love how Jesus himself spoke about when you're about to take a journey, you need to sit down and really look at the costs. So a lot of you need to sit down and consider what will it look like, you know, to pack again, to have faith again, and to take a journey of faith. This was the Vambilis. Thank you for being with us. Until next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103. to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.